Are you guys with us? We know you are. So here's how you can help. First, share this podcast with your friends. We can't grow without you. Second, go to www.dmwpodcast.com and check out our merch site. I guarantee we have some great stuff that you're gonna love. And your purchase helps support the show. Lastly, keep on leaving positive reviews and follow on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Dead Men Walking Podcast. As always, we appreciate your prayers as we continue to bring glory to God. Exploring theology, doctrine, and all of the fascinating subjects in between, broadcasting from an undisclosed location, Dead Men Walking starts
now.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Moore. Thanks for sharing with a friend. Thanks for commenting. Thanks for going to dmwpodcast.com and checking out a little bit more about us and our website. Generally, we have that undisclosed location, which is false. I tell you where I'm at all the time. And then we also say exploring doctrine and theology, which we're not doing, I don't think, a lot of on this episode. So my intro is a complete lie to you guys this episode. So, well, deal with it. But I want to get right into it. We don't have much
time. So was that coat you were wearing when we met last. That was a complete lie as well.
Yes, that is the voice of Dr. James White, author, director of Alpha and Omega Ministries, pastor, the whole deal. And he's on the road. And we want to talk to him today. So I think last time I was going to try to give him an official intro and he interrupted too. So he likes to get right into it. He doesn't waste time. I like it. And he also teases me a lot about the clothes I wear, shoes, suits, things like that. So I like it though.
When you make it that easy for me, what am I supposed to do? I
mean, well, in my mind, I go by the saying, you roast the ones you love. So I will take that as we have a loving friendship and nothing more. And he's rolling his eyes. Okay, so this is going to be an interesting episode because we're going to have Dr. James White on and we're not going to talk about theology or doctrine probably at all, which is probably something different than what you'd expect from him. Obviously, very popular, doing hundreds of moderated debates and things like that. So I wanted to talk to him about being on the road because he's been on the road in his camper. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like a year or is it a little less or a little more? 2 years? How long has it been? I feel like it's been longer, but I didn't want to.
Not continuously, obviously.
right.
But this year, it'd be about 5 months out of this year is going to be on the road. So, yeah. And of course, before we started doing the RV, I flew. And yeah. I flew 165,000 miles in 2019 alone.
Wow.
And spent almost 2 months in London. And I was in Samara, Russia, South Africa, Australia, just all over the world. So being away from home isn't overly unusual. But what has changed, of course, is now I am in a Jayco fifth wheel. And that's what changed starting in July of 2021. So this is 2 years now. Yeah, 2 years now I've been pulling and two different trucks and two different RVs so far. And hopefully our current combination will be for quite some time.
Well, we're going to get into that because I wanted to talk equipment. We won't get too techie. But before we do, for any of those watching on the YouTube stream too, we love the ministry so much that we actually have, and you can see it here on the screen, we have a James White Getting Real in the Fifth Wheel t-shirt, full in purple with the Coogee background. And any of you want to purchase this shirt, all profits will go to Alpha and Omega Ministries because we appreciate what he's doing. You can see we have a bunch of beautiful different colors there. And it's a picture of James White. And it says, Getting Real in the Fifth Wheel. And we absolutely love it. So a little promotion there. It drives traffic to our site and whatever we make off that's going to go to Alpha and Omega Ministries so you can continue doing what you're doing. I'm sure your whole budget is completely dependent on my t-shirt sales. But okay, so let's no, I'm kidding. Okay, so let's get into equipment. So what are you using right now? We have a lot of people out there that do camp, that do pull campers, fifth wheels, pop-ups, all that kind of stuff. What's the vehicle you're pulling with and what are you in specifically on the Jayco fifth wheel?
Okay, well, let's back up a little bit so there's some context. I had never RV'd in my life until May of 2021. And of course, what's May of 2021? Lockdowns, vaccines, masks, the whole nine yards. And I haven't been traveling now for a long time. at that point, and we're like, man, I'm getting stir crazy. I'd like to get back out amongst the people again. And how are we going to do that? And so I don't even know how I came up with the idea, but we rented a little 19-foot self-contained unit. Had, I don't know, 150,000 miles on it. Wasn't much of anything, but we rented it to see if, is it something I could even learn to do? Could I sleep in it? Would I be able to rest? What is it? In hindsight, it was a disastrous trip. I drove to Pryor, Oklahoma, and spoke at Derek Melton's church. So Derek Melton, you probably know as a pastor. What you probably don't know is he was head of SWAT before he retired from the police department. Okay. And then he took up making knives. And you may have seen some of his Melton Forge knives. He's just, he's tremendously skilled at beautiful, yeah, beautiful knives. And so I went to speak at his church. Well, we rented this thing, and less than 2 hours after I picked it up, I didn't know this at the time, but I destroyed the air conditioner by hitting a basketball hoop at church.
Okay.
And a couple days later, I'm driving in New Mexico, and I hit a thunderstorm, and it just starts pouring through the roof.
Oh, no.
So when I got to Derek's place, he's up there with me on the top of the roof. You know, we're trying to push what's left of the air conditioner back where it's supposed to be, and taping it all up. And it was. But I kept trying to put that off, going, okay, that's something else. Try to see if you could actually do this, if you could rest and sleep and learn how to do this kind of stuff. And when I got back, we decided, yeah, we're gonna go for it. And I have to thank Derek, because he has like a 32-foot pole behind. Mm-hmm. Now until May of 2021, I didn't know what a fifth wheel was. I didn't know what a pole behind was. I didn't know what a toy hauler was. None of that stuff. I had heard all of it on advertising on TV.
Sure.
But I had no earthly idea what any of it meant. And Derek said if he were to do it again, he would get a fifth wheel. And he explained that when you attach a fifth wheel, it's attached in the bed of your truck over your rear axle.
Yeah. Better weight distribution. Better weight distribution, better control too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a significantly more stable in wind and turning and all of that kind of stuff. So I'm like, okay, I remembered that. He also said, get a diesel. I did remember that. We didn't, but should have. Anyway, and he's talked about the construction. His has the aluminum side. He says, don't do that. Get the other kind, which is obviously what we did. Anyways, well, we had no idea what we were doing. Neither Rich or I had a clue. And so he goes by Sun City RV, and I'm thinking getting something little, because I was in a 19-footer, and I survived. Yeah. I even rode my bike in there. I had just enough room to set up my trainer and ride in the unit. It made getting around real tough, but I did it. And so we ended up, they told us, well, what you need is you need a grand design. Grand design's the best, and you need to get a grand design. So we ended up at a dealership, I won't mention it, where basically, and this is something everyone needs to know if you're thinking about doing this, once they've got your money, you don't exist anymore. Okay. And so you can get a real good initial price, but good luck on maintenance or getting anything fixed that needs to get fixed or anything like that.
Yeah, you're kind of on your own.
You're on your own. Yeah, you really are. And again, we ended up going with a Grand Design Reflection 150, a 260 RD, if anyone is interested. So that was a 21 model, and it's 30 feet long. And again, remember, I have never done RVing. I've never pulled anything. I've never driven anything.
You jumped right in. You went with a 30-foot fifth wheel.
Yeah. And so the two things that we had to get was the fifth wheel and then the truck. And so Rich one night says, hey, I've been looking online. Here are some trucks. And the first one he sent me, again, I'm so naive that I assumed 5.3 liters was huge.
Right.
I mean, that sounded really big to me.
Sounds okay? Big, sure.
You know, it's only a 325, actually. But make long story short, there was a beautiful 2018 GMC Sierra, and it had a 5.3-liter Ecotec engine. I don't know if anybody knows what an Ecotec engine is, but man, that the technology on that thing is incredible. Yeah. And I've talked to a lot of people that know motors, and it's a great, great, great motor. So it was $14,000 less than almost any other used truck available in Phoenix at the time, and it had less miles. Hmm. And we're like, and so Rich is like, eh, I bet you when we get there, we'll find out it was in an accident or something like that.
Right.
So the next morning, we go down to the dealer, and we find it's beautiful truck and perfectly clear Carfax. It's never been an accident. Hmm. We'll never know why it was so much less expensive than anything else that was available at the time. But we bought it and went through the joy of having the fifth wheel hitch installed at the dealership where we bought the fifth wheel.
Okay.
That was, again, cheap prices, cheap service. That's just sort of how that ends up. Finding a good dealership is important. The problem is you don't have any guarantee that once you've found one, they're going to keep the people they've got now for very long in the future.
Sure.
So it's been interesting along those lines. So anyways, I ended up doing my first trip all the way up through, I'm in Colorado right now, through Colorado, all the way up to Moscow, Idaho. Mm. And so this is my, we did one little trip. I went up to Prescott Valley just to, I just didn't want to go on a multi-thousand right. mile trip without having at least practiced, you know, done something.
Right.
Because when I first got that little 19 footer, I think I was in Holbrook at the KOA in Holbrook, and I'm standing outside it and I'm holding the sewer hose, and this guy, I shouldn't tell people this, but this guy is walking his dog. And if you've been to RV parks, you know that everyone's walking a dog at some point or another, even if it's not your dog. This guy goes walking by, and I go, sir, I'm sorry to bother you, but where do you put the sewer hose? I didn't know what a sewer drop looked like. I had no idea. I'd never used one.
Oh, that's
awesome.
It's
that white thing down there in the ground. Thank you very much. How do I get that off? Okay. All right. So that was where I started. And so I went up to Prescott Valley and made some mistakes. And, you know, you're having to learn how to use that hitch. And the big thing that for a long time, the big challenge for me was getting hooked up, because you have to aim your truck in and you have to get the head of that hitch right where it needs to be. You know, the head of on the unit into that hitch. So they'll hook up.
Yeah.
Well, lo and behold, a year into this, Rich is doing some reading. Now, I would not be out here were it not for Rich. Rich has done so much work in the stuff. The studio I'm in right now, he built, he designed. Mm. When I'm on the road and something goes wrong, he's on the phone. He's getting repairmen out.
Nice.
I mean, it is, I wouldn't be out here without Rich. And especially his first few trips, where I have no idea what in the world I'm doing. And so I was just constantly having to put a lot of energy out to just hook up.
Yeah.
And then about a year later or so, Rich is doing some reading.
Very quickly for those listening, a fifth wheel is a lot more difficult to hook up than, let's say, a travel trailer, where you can get within the vicinity of the hitch and the bumper, and the weight will kind of carry it onto it. You have to be pretty precise because you're dealing with a 3, maybe 3.5-inch, 4-inch wide circle that has to slide right. level on it in the back of the truck, which sometimes you can't see. Most people use markers, or if they're lucky enough to have a backup camera. So I'm just explaining the pain for everyone listening. Go ahead.
Right. The first truck did not have a camera. The truck I own now was designed to pull a fifth wheel. It is glorious, but I'll get to it in a second.
Okay.
So Rich reads about the Zerks, which I've never even heard the word Zerk before, but there are lubrication Zerks on the hitch head. And so he gets in there and he lubes this thing up. And now I can just barely kiss the thing. Just kink, snap, boom, we're in. I mean, the first year of fighting it was all just simply a matter that the people that installed it hadn't lubricated it properly.
Wow.
And so once we got that done, things got a whole lot easier. But I didn't realize, you got to think about, you've got to go back down the hill. And you're being chased by, that Reflection 150 was about 7,800 without anything in it. So over 8,000 pounds is chasing you down the hill.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why Derek had said, get a diesel.
Yeah.
Was, and I didn't know this, again, when you hear a truck going down a hill, you'll hear it going, using engine braking.
Yeah.
And my 2018 GMC Sierra would do engine braking. It had a button and it would do it. But a gas engine just simply doesn't produce much in the way of resistance.
Yeah.
Certainly nothing compared to what a diesel does. And so that was a safety issue.
Yeah.
Okay. But I pulled that thing out to G3 around Pennsylvania, Louisiana, had a real close call in it. So, you know, that's in the back of my mind. And as I'm going down hills, I'm going, safety, safety, safety. And then I'm sitting at an RV park in Texas. And I've sat in a lot of RV parks in Texas now. I know all the roads between Arizona and east and north. Anyway, I was thinking about how big the bedroom was, how much of the unit it takes up, and how little use it was to me.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about Derek Melton's unit again. And he has a little bunkhouse in the back with bunks that his grandkids sleep in when they go out to the lake and stuff like that. And I started thinking, if I had bunks in the back, we could, now I've been doing the dividing line from the unit, but I've been doing it sitting at the kitchen table.
Sure.
And if I would like reach up and do something on the computer, the camera's shaking and stuff like that. And it's like, I'm still doing the program, but I can't do a lot of the stuff that I normally would do. And so I started going, what if I could find a unit that had bunks in the back that I could sleep in? Mm. And we convert the bedroom, which most of the master bedrooms, I am in the very front of our second fifth wheel, a Jayco Eagle, 35-foot fifth wheel. And I am basically sitting smack dab in the middle of where the bed would be.
Okay.
And so I came up with that idea, and I thought we could convert the bedroom. And there was one thing about the Grand Design 260RD, by the way, that drove me insane. You could not use the bathroom without putting the slide out. And that meant when you're traveling, the one big advantage to having your house with you, I didn't have.
Right.
I would have to somehow get completely off the road. I couldn't pull over anyplace because when you put the slide out, it goes out into traffic.
Right.
And so that was a major design drawback that I recognized from the first time I was in it. And it just became more and more of a pain as time went on. And so I floated the idea to Rich. We started looking around. I started looking around online. And interestingly enough, the first fifth wheel that I found that wasn't super long, I don't want to be super long. Guys with 40, 45 foot fifth wheels, and they've got to go through the truck lanes at the gas stations. They cannot possibly get through getting gas is always on the rear end of your truck. And I didn't want to get much longer. The first unit I found online was the one I'm sitting in.
Wow.
I looked at a bunch of others, and all of them that had bunks in the back just got longer and longer and heavier and heavier.
Yeah.
And so once we found this one, it's like, okay, 35 feet. I think I can probably handle that. Yeah, it's 5 feet longer than what I'm used to, but that is 5 feet's 5 feet, but I think I can do it. The next thing was the truck. And this was providential. Here was, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to talk about some theology. You said we weren't going to talk about theology, but
go ahead.
When I was at that church in Louisiana, mm-hmm. a young man came up to me and he gave me a card and he said, if you ever need a truck, let me know. And people give me cards all the time. I think you gave me a card. I don't know where it is. No, I don't think you did.
I don't have cards.
But, okay. That's probably good. And something said, hold on to this card.
Mm.
And so I did. So I put this card in a special place in our first RV. And when Rich and I decided, yeah, we need to get a diesel. I mean, you know, you get a business card. It's like over a year old. The guy could be in Botswana. He could be in prison.
Yeah.
You never know. He could be wearing a satin jacket and doing interviews at conferences. People change. And so I dropped an email to him. And the next morning I get up and here's links to three different trucks. And I sent them to Rich, and Rich looks at them. And we both decided, yeah, that second of the three looks absolutely perfect. Of course, we're also looking at the price.
Sure.
And so I won't go into total detail, but I have a dear, 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 dear friend that is a supporter of the ministry and is very well off. And I was talking to him about other stuff. And he said, you know, we need to have you out there. He made it possible for us to get that truck.
Yeah.
And anyone who's followed the dividing line knows that then when we did, we decided, because once I got a 2500, so it's a 3/4 ton.
Yeah.
With a big 6.6 liter turbo diesel, 10 speed Allison transmission. I mean, this thing can pull a house. The problem was our first grand design was designed for a 1500 and a 2500 is considerably taller.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And so now it looks like it's going a wheelie down the road. And it's like there's nothing we could do about it as far as the hitch and stuff like that. We put it down as low as we could. So we went to our supporters and said, well, you know, I found this unit. Once I decided, let's convert the bedroom into a studio. And we didn't know how to do that.
Yeah.
We had never heard of anybody that had ever done anything like that. And Rich designed all this stuff. And if you could see just how seamless this is, you'd go, where did you get this guy? And how come he has all these skills? Because he does.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've got two 4K cameras and I've got a switching device sitting here and I can put my Mac up and I've got panel lights up here that are LEDs. So they don't produce a whole bunch of heat. And now I did the background. I want credit for something.
Okay.
Okay. I designed, I found the, I'll take credit for that too. I'm sorry. You can undoubtedly hear that. I will, hopefully this will work. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, but get yourself an RV that has, remote control via your phone. So we have two units, two air conditioning units, because I live in Phoenix. Even as it is, when I get home, it's going to be 118 degrees. It doesn't matter if I have both of them running. It is not going to be able to get this thing below about 85 degrees at best.
Wow.
In Phoenix. That's just all there is to it. But I have to make sure to turn off that unit because it's just way too loud. You can hear it over the microphone and stuff like that. But I did this. I actually, you'll notice it's all matched up.
Yeah.
And it's the only skill set I have, but I pulled that off, and the light, which drives Rich nuts, but I love it. And a few people out there in the audience do. Anyways, our supporters did all this. They paid for all the equipment. Mm. You know, these 4K cameras aren't exactly cheap, and they paid off the entire Jayco 35-foot fifth wheel in like 1 month.
Wow.
And so this thing is all paid off. And this is my second major trip with it. And in September, I'm taking it to the G3.
Yeah.
But I'm doing a debate with a guy named Gregory Coles, who is part of the I am a celibate homosexual, but I am a gay Christian movement,
right,
type
right.
stuff. And we'll be debating in Pennsylvania.
Is that
is
that public yet, or do you have links or dates or anything like that?
September 16th.
Yeah. Okay. We'll make sure
September
we link
16th.
It up.
Yeah, we're putting the graphic together today, so it should be up fairly quickly. But we'll be debating, and then I'm swinging down to Atlanta, and I'm really excited because my wife's going to get to come.
Yeah.
And but she there's one thing. We got rid of the bedroom. So it has two bunks in the back. But for example, I'm looking over here. This is where most of your storage would be. Would be right over here for a bedroom.
Right.
And most of it is where we put the cameras, because people who don't know much about RVing don't realize just how much vibration and getting banged around everything in here experiences.
Absolutely.
And so the cameras have to be, they're basically in a drawer with the same kind of packing material cut out for them in the whole nine yards to just keep them safe.
Yeah.
And so my wife, even if she wanted to come with me now, really, I don't know that we could actually work it out given how we have everything set up. But anyways, so I'm in a Jayco. What I really like about this Jayco, better than the Grand Design, is I have those cool, colorful lights on the front end. You know, right. So I can turn it on and there's a night, you know, you've got that real pretty. I was really jealous of everybody else in the RV parks when I had my Grand Design, because I didn't have anything. It was just dark and it was sad. So it's a 2023, and that means it's got lots of LED lights. And like I said, I can control stuff with my phone. It doesn't always work perfectly, but it is a really, really nice unit. So I'm 51 feet long, 13 wow. feet, 3 inches tall, when I'm hooked up.
Yeah.
And right at, say, about 80,000 pounds.
Wow. So like we were saying too, I mean, this is your kind of first go at it. I mean, you jumped right in, right? I mean, you didn't start with a pop-up or anything like that. I mean, you're 55-foot long, fifth wheel, 2,500, you're getting it. And when you're coming down those hills, well, you're carrying all that weight too.
Initially, it was a 1,500 pickup
right.
with a gas engine and a Grand Design that was only 30 feet long. So I was like 47 feet or something at that point, and maybe about 15,000. So yeah, it is a little bigger, a little bit heavier. But the truck that we got is a GMC Sierra AT4, 2500 HD. So,
oh, beautiful truck.
This thing designed to pull a fifth wheel.
Yep.
It has an entire computer suite inside for trailering. It knows which trailer you have. It remembers the brake settings. I mean, it has a camera. And this was, I was telling you earlier, big challenge initially was hooking up.
Yeah.
Now that's absolutely second nature. I have a camera. I can watch that thing. It's got a line so I can get it lined up, watch that thing go straight in, just as sweet as can be. It has the puck system in the bed so we could change. We could put a different hitch in there if we wanted very, very easily. Mm. It's got a connection because the old one, I'd have to, you know, if you have a fifth wheel, you have to connect the same thing with a pull behind. You have to have that cable that you connect up to your truck. So the brakes and the lights and stuff like that. I had to put that over the tailgate of the old truck. Mm. This has connections inside the bed.
Yeah.
So you don't have it hanging over the back and all the rest of that kind of stuff. Yeah. Whoever designed that truck pulled fifth wheels. There's just no doubt about it at all.
They knew what they were doing. So what's the longest road trip you've been on so far before you get back to kind of home base in Arizona? Are you going a couple days, couple weeks, couple months?
I did the G3 in Washington, D.C. last summer. And so that's a good distance from Arizona. So that was right around 5,000 miles.
Wow.
This trip is 33 days. Though it got cut in half distance wise, but this is the longest trip at 33 days. So you have to go long, and you know, when you're doing it this way, you have to go long enough to make it worth the investment. But I don't want to be, I'm still pastor at Apologia Church. I need to sort of show up once in a while. Right. I can't just be the guy who just always, flits in, flits out type of a situation. So 33 days so far. And I'll try to avoid anything longer than that. But look, February coming up, 5 debates. Mm. I'll be in Tullahoma again.
Yeah.
And trying to arrange all those people to get them all into the right places at the same time. I could have to be out a little bit longer than that to make it all work. We'll see. But it'll be worth it. Believe me, the debates we're lining up will be great. No,
absolutely. Look, I've seen people do, kind of road trips in ministry and things like that, but never with a mobile studio to your extent to where you're also doing a live and pre-recorded and live updates on your show. It's like, it's pretty crazy because the setup you have now, when I tune in, I mean, I know from the backdrop where you're at, but if you were just a new listener, you'd go, oh, this guy's in his studio and he's doing his, podcast and radio show and all that. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I always go, what kind of internet is he using? Because in my experience, it is really, oh my gosh, you go to some places and it's like, you're not texting, let alone getting a stream. Are you using satellite?
Smoke signals. Smoke signals. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. One thing people do need to know is RV parks have widely varying internet capacity. I've been in some parks that had super high speed 5G poles about every 3 slots.
Yeah.
And you'd have 5 bars and it was unbelievable. That's the exception, not the rule. Yeah. I can assure you of that. There are parks that have zippity dippity doo-dah. There are parks that have, as soon as everybody pulls in the afternoon, the evening, it slows down to like a 2400 baud modem speed. I mean, it can get really, really bad. So we have, obviously we can do the park Wi-Fi if it happens to be really, really good.
Yeah.
The main thing we use is a 5G hotspot that's sitting right there. And in the location I'm at right now, we've gotten as much as 329 megabits download speed on it. So it can be lightning fast, but that sells. So there are a lot of places I stop, especially crossing Texas, where you're not going to get that. It's not going to work for you. So we do have Starlink, and Starlink can work. And in fact, I don't know that I checked. Yeah, I'm on Starlink right now. So I should be on the 5G because it's faster. But as long as it's working for you, that's just one one thing about having all these gadgets is you've got to remember all of the gadgets.
Right.
You've got to remember, turn that on. For example, I've turned on the cameras before and forgot to turn the power on. And 20 minutes later, the battery dies. And it's like, You know, and so there is a learning curve, and then there's a memory curve with all this stuff. So, but yeah, we're using Starlink's our backup because we can get into places. But when you're in an RV park right here, I don't have any trees in the way, but man, I've been in RV parks where I wasn't really able to use Starlink. So it can be a challenge on that end.
I mean, when you go on the road and you're mobile, it's a whole new world of things that could go and will go wrong. And you need to kind of troubleshoot and get quick at responding to them. One other question I would ask you, when you're out there on the road, there's got to be some stuff that's just going, okay, this is tough. I'm not looking forward to doing this, or it's not the most fun part of this. Not that you're just out there for fun, but what would be one of those things? And then what are some of the blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon you by kind of this new type of ministry of being on the road for extended periods of time? What's something that is kind of a challenge and something that you go, wow, what a blessing?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Covenant Real Estate. And why not? It's my podcast and my real estate company. But seriously, I've absolutely enjoyed helping clients buy, sell, and invest in real estate over the last 12 years. My brokerage serves clients in Michigan and Ohio, with more states coming soon. When I started this brokerage, I wanted to ensure that my expertise and knowledge would serve every one of my clients. I take my fiduciary responsibility to my clients very seriously. That's why I named it Covenant Real Estate. Not only is a covenant a contract in the legal sense, but it's also a solemn promise from myself to each of my clients. I will do my absolute best to serve you. It's also pretty cool that our name has some theological implications as well, which is a great conversation starter. And here's the best part. My agents and I have extensive experience in helping people buy and sell residential homes, buy and sell commercial properties, as well as investing in real estate and selling and purchasing recreational and vacant land. Covenant Real Estate can help you with all of your real estate needs, and I would love the opportunity to earn your business. So if you have real estate needs in Michigan or Ohio, call me at 734-731-GREG. That's 734-731-GREG. Or click on the link in the description of this podcast episode you're listening to right now. Remember, Covenant Real Estate, confidence from contract to close.
Yeah, my trip in February, about an hour and a half in, my left shoulder started killing me and it hurt me the whole trip. And when I got back, I've got a great chiropractor. She was working on it. She said, you know, we need to get you an MRI because we're not getting anywhere. Mm. And when we did, we found out I had tears in my rotator cuff and my left bicep tendon. And it's from driving. It's from doing this number.
Yeah.
And so now I have to drive with a pillow underneath this elbow, and I've got to try to do stuff to try to keep that from happening, because the fact of the matter is, especially if you're alone, there are physical aspects to RVing.
Yeah.
You have to be able to get down and put your struts down, and you've got to be able to do stuff in the bed of your truck and do the unhooking, and you've got to do the sewer and the water and the electricity. And man, that electrical cable, especially because I can do 50 amps. I've got two AC units. That thing ain't light.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to wrestle this stuff around. It's not for, I'm not sure. I've never seen anybody honestly in a wheelchair in one of these RV parks alone doing RVing. I just don't know that it's possible.
Right.
So there are some physical challenges along the way. And, you know, I've had to set up in drenching rain. I was in New Mexico once, and a storm hit right as I pulled in. And by the time I got into my slot, there was like 3 inches of water all around the electrical connection.
Oh, fun.
So I'm sort of like, how much do I want to have electricity tonight? You know, and eventually I found rocks to create a walkway through the
island.
Water. And I'm sort of, you know, doing this number, trying to plug in, going, oh, this could be the end. This is it. So yeah, there's challenges. There's challenges like that.
Now that's why I want to talk about stuff like this, because people don't realize how difficult it is to be on the road like this and doing this and pulling that equipment and setting up every time and tearing down. And I mean, you've always been a guy that, you know, loves a challenge, obviously. And with your cycling and you know, all that kind of stuff, you obviously have a mindset of like, yeah, let's go try it. I don't care if it's difficult. But people tuning in and just watching, oh yeah, he's in a RV. Yeah. Well, it's not like you're putting up an umbrella and sipping on a margarita. It's like, it is work to do that. You know what I mean? Not that no, you'd sip on a margarita, but
there are a lot of things that you have to remember.
Yeah.
I can set up and break down much faster now than I could the first, say, 6 months.
Sure.
Because there are efficient ways of doing it. And then there are not so efficient ways of doing it. But the thing that's always in the back of my mind, I'm sitting here looking at, in every RV, you have internal sliding doors. Mm-hmm. And you have to make sure that before you start moving, those things are latched down. There's a little button thing up the top to make sure that, you know, that, because if not, it's going to be going back and forth, bang, 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 bang. And everything's going to be destroyed by the time you get back in. And you really, I have felt pressure because of what God's people have spent to make these purchases. I feel pressure to not destroy this thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, it's fully insured. I get it. But I just, you know, I will double check stuff. I've developed a certain routine where I walk around the outside and walk around the inside and double checking all these types of things. So yeah, there's a lot of that, but there's also a sense of pride, honestly, that I have learned to do this. I've pulled about 40,000 miles now.
Wow.
We traded in the first unit and it was in great shape. The truck was in great shape. No damages, no running into anything. And, you know, we store this in Phoenix. I don't have any place in my home to park this. I don't have room for it. We store it in a storage facility that is covered.
Yeah.
And because in Phoenix, if you don't, you know, just set a match to it. Otherwise, you're just going to roast it. And I'm going to tell you something. You got to back into that sucker. And you've got about, I'd say, 9 to 10 inches on each side is all you've got.
Yeah.
And it takes a while to gain any type of confidence. And I'll tell you, even right now, I still do that very slowly.
Yeah.
I am very, very careful because not only am I next to somebody else's property and I don't want to damage them, but almost always there's a pole, a steel pole that you're pulling next to. So I don't want to damage mine. And so I take it nice and slow, but I have to have the ability to get that back there and to get it parked straight. I'm not going to leave it crooked. That would be embarrassing. but there are skills. It is amazing. Think about it. You can go buy one of these things and pull it off the lot and take off with next to no training at all, with really no training at all.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there are people, you know, the first time I pulled the Grand Design, I only had a few weeks before I was going to be heading to Colorado. And Rich is like, well, you want me to just, because Rich used to have a boat. So at least he had pulled something behind a truck. I'm like, no, dude, I've got to find out. I got to start building some skills here. And it was a little nerve wracking at first, but you know, after you've gone through some tough passes, mountain passes, I'll go through Raton Pass in Southern Colorado on my way home this weekend. And that Raton Pass has been under construction and I see no progress whatsoever in that construction for 3 years.
Yeah.
And it is single lane, both directions, rough road, narrow, the barriers that you're always concerned about. And, you know, but I've gotten through it every single time without damaging anything. And eventually you start getting some level of confidence and it's like, okay. You know, very quickly, if I wanted to, if I wasn't, I'm doing this to travel. So many nights, if I'm on a real nice level thing, I won't even unhook the truck. I'll put the struts down and I'll put the rear struts down to take some weight off the truck. But why? I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to be driving to do anything. And first thing in the morning, I'm taking off anyway. So why bother?
Yep.
But if I was staying in places, like I've been in this place for over 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
There would be an amazing ability to do ministry in a place like this.
Yeah.
And it'd be easy to do. I have a little telescope in the back. Set that telescope outside at night. And because everybody goes for walks. Everybody. Yep. I can't believe how many people have pets. And I mean, I've seen adult men come out of a teardrop, less than 10 foot long, little bit of nothing, followed by about an 85 pound dog.
Yeah.
I don't even know how they do that. It's just amazing to me. But everybody walks their dogs and you set that telescope up out there.
Yeah.
And I've done that. And you end up with talking to everybody about God's creation. I've prayed with people, all sorts of stuff. You could literally do RV park ministry if that was something that you felt called to do. And who knows, maybe once I'm 87 years old or something like that, can't do debates anymore, maybe that's something to do. I don't know.
Yeah, actually, we met a gentleman in Southern Indiana that did that. And he was about in his 80s, and he just went to parks and he walked around and, hey, we want to talk to you about the Lord. And I go, you're in the right spot, brother. Sit down. And we visited for about 2 hours. And he always loves, he goes, I always love finding another believer to talk about, but I'm out there for the lost. And I said, well, God bless you. And, here's another thing. You mentioned, I got to learn how to do this. I mean, you put 40,000 miles on that, or you've traveled 40,000 miles. There's people who own campers and RVs that don't put 40,000 miles on in the decades that they own
ever.
It. So you are on an expedited path to, you're going through a crash course, and for those that are listening that do camp or pull something, they understand when you're talking about those one lane construction, they put the cone over too far and you're like, oh, I'm probably gonna either hit that or miss it by an inch, all that good stuff. And then you get to your destination and you go, boy, I need a massage or something. All the tension's right up there, 'cause I was white knuckling it through the mountains. Yep. Yeah. But we appreciate it.
Yep.
The listeners get to reap the benefit of it. Obviously, the people at your debates, the things that you're going to. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Last February, when we just talked for a few moments, it was like, well, I'll see what I have on the schedule next month and we'll see if we can fit it in. And it's like, how cool, because you also don't have, I would think, you don't have that flexibility when you have to kind of fly in, rent a car, drive to a spot. It feels like you're a little more nimble in that, to where if it's like, okay, sure, it's 60 miles out of my way, but it's kind of on the way, I can hit it and do that function. Or, it just seems such a cool concept that you're that accessible and that you have a heart to be able to be that accessible to people.
Well, what we did is we set up an email address, roadtrip@aomin.org. One word, roadtrip@aomin.org. And churches send in an email, and I have an entire map that I can pull up of all the churches that have said, if you're coming through, it doesn't matter whether it's a Tuesday or a Thursday or whatever.
Yeah.
If you're coming through, we'd like to try to set up, just an evening thing. We know you're traveling. You're probably gonna be tired. You're not going to be overly fancily dressed. Maybe it's just meet with our elders type of situation. But as I travel, I can just pull that map up and go, hey, there was a Spearfish, Nebraska, I think. I was planning the loop where I was going to go up to Minnesota. I didn't get to do it this time because of food poisoning. But and there's a KOA in Spearfish. Mm. So I'm like, okay, I should look at my map. I look at roadtrip@aomin.org. There's a church in Spearfish, Nebraska that has said, you're coming through, we'd love to. So I missed getting to meet with the elders there, but that's the kind of thing we're doing. And it's really neat to be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for spending time with us, kind of talking about this. Obviously, your audience knows what's going on if they've been following you for any amount of time. And obviously, where people see on social media and things like that. We just wanted to kind of expose it to our audience as well, that to tune in. The quality of the show is just the same, I would say. The content's always great. But it's fun when we see the little colors going in the background, you go, ooh, where is he coming from? He might say it on the show today. He's somewhere in the United States, and we still get our A&O fix no matter where he's at. So I like it.
There. I had left the window open, so the colors weren't quite as vibrant because I had left the window open. So I made another mistake. There you go. But no, I actually, I'll be honest with you, I've not talked much about all this stuff on the dividing line at all. I don't talk about, what unit we're in or stuff like that on the dividing line. This is the most I've talked about the actual background to it. So appreciate that. It was enjoyable.
No, very fun. Now, did you want to stick around and play a little segment we call Hillsong or Love Song, where I read you some lyrics and you have to guess if it's a Hillsong, Christian contemporary worship song, or a contemporary secular love song? Or do you got to get going?
Now, oh, you know, I'm just really I'm looking at my my battery's down to 99%. I'm on the wrong internet connection, and I can't hear you anymore. What was that?
Now with that being said, you had that response to our Fresh 10, and it did make the front page of Reform Funny Moments. Our good friend over there, and he thought it was hilarious that you tried to get out of it. I think, just for the record, you should stick around and answer these 8 lyrics and see how many you can get. What do you think?
Well, they're going to have to be quick. Yeah.
All right.
I do have a dividing line to do today. So.
Here we go. Welcome back to another segment of Love Song or Hill Song, where our guest will listen to a song lyric and have to guess if it's from a popular secular artist or a popular Christian worship band. Let's play Love Song or Hill Song. All right, full disclosure, they're not all Hillsong songs, but they are in that vein of Christian contemporary worship music. So we're going to start off what I think is easy. Let's see if you think this is a love song or a Hillsong. So you're here, there's nothing I fear, and I know that my heart will go on. What do we think that is?
The last one sounded like the Titanic, but I didn't remember Celine Dion singing "You're Here, I Have Nothing to Fear." So that sounds like from the Titanic. So I'll say it's a love song.
You are absolutely correct. Love song, "My Heart Will Go On" by Celine Dion. Yeah, that's pretty good. I didn't remember her saying that either.
My daughter was absolutely in love with Leonardo DiCaprio and the Titanic. So I unfortunately heard it many times.
And I almost made a reference to a movie by Leonardo DiCaprio when you said you were checking everything on your camper. And I said, what's the aviator? It was his biop. Where he became OCD and he would check everything 5 times. That's how I feel like when I'm camping. It's like, check the doors, check the hitch. You're right. I got a whole system. All right, real quick. Hold me close. Let your love surround me. Is that a Christian worship song or is that a secular love song?
That sounds like Hillsong to me.
That is Hillsong. Worship the power of your love. Oh my gosh, you're 2 for 2. I thought I was going to stump you. Okay, number 3. I have faith in what I see. Now I know I have met an angel in person.
That sounds pretty campy. So I'm going to say a love song.
It is a love song. That's Ed Sheeran from Perfect. Yeah, that one gave away. All right, here, number 4. You're still the one I run to, the one that I belong to. Love song or Hillsong? You're still the one I run to, the one that I belong to.
We'll go with Hillsong.
Oh, your first one you got wrong. That is a love song. That's Shania Twain, Still the One. All right, step out.
I'm a Christian. How am I supposed to know that?
Right. Step out on the busy street, see a girl, and our eyes meet. Does her best to smile at me to hide what's underneath. Is that a love song?
Well, man, let's just put it this way. I hope it's a love song.
Oh, is that what you're guessing?
Because if that's Hillsong, then I just ate lunch.
Oh, man. You guess love song, you'd be wrong. It's a worship song. Give Me Your Eyes by Brandon Heath, who has played with Hillsong before, but not part of. Okay. Yeah, but yeah, in that vein. Ugh, ugly. All right, 3 more really quick. They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. Now, to me, that sounds like a Willie Nelson song, but is it a love song?
It does.
Or is it a hill song?
Is current country music part of one of the categories? No. I'll take current country music for 300, Alex.
No.
Let's hope it's a love song.
It's Mercy Me. It's a worship song. It's called Even If. Oh, you started off so well. Okay. Now we're okay.
I know I did.
2 more and then we'll let you go. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like some type of religious thing. So we'll go with a alleged worship.
Yeah, you got it. How He Loves Me, Jesus culture. All right, last one. This one I think is the hardest one. You're my end and my beginning. Even when I lose, I'm winning. Is that a love song or is that a hill song? I mean, it's gay.
It's horrible. It's horrible, whichever one it is. It's just like, wow, you failed beginnings 101. We'll go ahead and take a shot at a worship song again.
No, it's a love song. It's John Legend, All of Me. That's all 8 of them. You got about 50%. Okay. Much better than I thought. You know, 50. I tried to pick some out that would stump you.
Better than you expected, huh?
Well, okay. I was really trying to stump you. And like you said, why would you know a John Legend or a Shania Twain song? Shame on us if we do.
Jeffrey Rice got hold of you, and you know that you're debating me in Tullahoma in February, right?
Oh, well, I already give up. I'm going to concede right now. What is it? I think
infant baptism. Yeah,
I would be better on suede jackets, suede smoking jackets.
Suede jackets. Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you would. Even though I still think that was a $29 jacket from Amazon.
But, oh, it was. It was a free suede jacket out of an Amazon return box because I, my friend, am thrifty. Okay. So when you sent me that screenshot, I laughed. That's why I laughed. I said, "Yeah, you found it. Yeah, go get you one." All right, let's finish it up. I know you got stuff to do. I got stuff to do. Thank you so much, James White, for being here, yep. Dr. James White. We'll make sure we link up everything that we talked about. So fun just getting in and seeing how the sausage is made and what you're doing there on the road. We appreciate that ministry. I know I do. I know a lot of people that listen. We love that you're still doing A&O from the road, and may God bless you for doing that. So appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Guys, thanks so much for listening to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. As always, you can find us at dmwpodcast.com, anywhere on social media at Real Dead Men Walking. And remember the chief end of man, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. God bless. Be sure to check us out at dmwpodcast.com, where you can purchase the best and snarkiest merch on the internet, support the show, and leave us a review or message. Dead Men Walking can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Dead Men Walking Podcast, and on Twitter X at Real DMW Podcast. The Dead Men Walking Podcast is part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. For exclusive show content, be sure to download the PubTV app and become a member. If you're a business that needs to reach hundreds of thousands of potential customers in your demographic, podcast advertising might be for you. Send all inquiries to deadmenwalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
None your biscuits.